in the studio now, I have Cormac Moore, historian in residence, Dublin City Libraries rather, North Central area. Good afternoon to you, Cormac.
Good afternoon, all.
Okay, now we're going to talk about the May plot. This was the arrest of 73 leading Sinn Féin members. What was that all about?
Yeah, so as I've spoken about over the last number of weeks, the conscription crisis in 1918 led to the May plot arrests. As I've outlined, there was such an outcry against conscription, and it was a campaign the British were never going to win, because all of nationalist Ireland, be it Sinn Féin, the Irish Party, the Catholic Church, the trade union movements, they all were against conscription, fought vigorously against it, and they won pretty much. Britain backed down, but they took matters into their own hand, and the only fair thing to say is that they concocted this German plot. And it all, basically, their pretext was a soldier called Joseph Dowling. He was actually born in Portlaoise, which was called Maryborough back then. He was arrested in the First World War, and he was one of about 50 POWs who switched sides and fought for the Germans. And the Germans in 1918 actually gave him a U-boat and left him off the shore of Ireland, and he was arrested. I think he was arrested around Clare, Limerick, Clare direction, and that was the pretext for actually. This is similar to what happened in 1916 with Casement and bringing arms into Ireland. This is the pretext. They said, "Oh, actually, Sinn Féin are actually looking to organise a rebellion with Germany, with the support of Germany." Now, there has never been any evidence to suggest that this ever happened, from either on the Irish side or the British side. None. So I think it is fair to say that this was a complete misnomer. It was just a ploy by the British to, get people against Sinn Féin, and also to arrest the leading members. So on the night of May 17th, morning of May 18th, the British authorities arrested 73 leading Sinn Féin, about 100 people overall, 73 leading Sinn Féin members all over Ireland, Belfast, Cork, a lot in Dublin. So Éimé de Valera was arrested, Countess Markovic was arrested, all of the newly elected MPs such as W.T. Cosgrave, Joseph McGuinness, Arthur Griffith, who would soon become an MP, were arrested. So now Sinn Féin knew this was going to happen, because Michael Collins had infiltrated the Dublin Metropolitan Police in Dublin Castle, and he was told that, look, you're going to be arrested. This is going to happen. So that was one of the things about the Michael Collins movie that was actually somewhat correct, in that Michael Collins did warn that the rest of the Sinn Féin leaders that, look, the arrests are going to happen, and it was decided by most to get arrested anyway, because they knew there would be a huge public backlash to the arrests, which there was. Now, Collins decided, and a number of others, like Harry Bone, decided they would evade capture. So they stayed in different places that night. And as a result, the more militant men really took control. Because although the Sinn Féin leaders who were arrested were only arrested on suspicion and to be questioned, they were shipped off to England. And most of them never appeared until 1919. They were arrested for that long, without trial, no trial, and they weren't allowed to have any visitors over from Ireland. They weren't allowed to read Irish newspapers. So you can see exactly what happened. There was no trial. There was no pretext for these arrests. But what happened was, when the ones who stayed were probably the more militant members of Sinn Féin and the Irish Volunteer Movement, and they did start, having more power, having more say, which ultimately would lead to the War of Independence starting in early 1919.
Can I just ask you there, just another case of the British shooting themselves again in the foot, it seems to
absolutely
me.
Absolutely. No question about it. And they would continue to do this until, well into 1921. And actually, the only people arrested were Sinn Féin members. So even though the Irish Party had fought vigorously against conscription, they were left in incriminating liberty. By not being arrested, they were seen as conscriptionists, pro-British, that they were Sinn Féin, who were seen as the anti-British, the anti-establishment party. And there was such a swing against British authority in Ireland by 1918, particularly with the conscription crisis, following on from the execution of the rising leaders, that Sinn Féin's popularity rose to new heights. And the first manifestation of that literally came a month later in Cavan East, a by-election. Sinn Féin, in everyone thinks that in 1917 there was this huge upswing for Sinn Féin. They won four by-election victories in a row. You know, it was an unstoppable movement that electorally won everything, you know, before them after 1917. That is not true. In early 1918, the Irish Party beat Sinn Féin three times. In Waterford, where John Redmond, who died, his son got elected, in Tyrone, in Armagh as well. They actually lost three seats to the Irish Party. In June, Cavan East, Sinn Féin candidate Arthur Griffith, who was previously the founder of Sinn Féin and previously leader before De Valera took over, he fought against the editor of the Anglo-Celt newspaper, John F. O'Hanlon. And the Irish Party were very organised in Cavan. They had a really good, strong support base. The local bishop, Dr. Finnegan, supported the Irish Party candidate. So it was no foregone conclusion that Sinn Féin would win this by-election. That all changed, though, on the night of May 17th and 18th. And actually, the Irish Independent wrote an article in May 20th saying the election is over. You know, the arrest of Arthur Griffith has meant that Cavan won. There were dinner with huge rallies, anti-British rallies, pro-Sinn Féin rallies, condemning the actual arrests. Father O'Flanagan, a very influential priest all over Ireland, he had a very big rally in Ballyjamesduff. 10,000 people attended. And he said that he condemned the poison gas of lies from that little Welsh spider, as in David Lloyd George, the Prime Minister, in relation to the German plot. People recognised the German plot arrest for what they were. They were a ploy. They weren't real. It was just an attempt to... And in Griffith, obviously, he won the by-election comfortably in the end.
OK, I don't want to break your train of thought, but it's just a couple of questions. For instance, was there any basis for the thoughts or proof of an allegiance with Germany?
No. Obviously, in 1916, they did get arms from Germany, but we haven't seen any evidence of any collusion.
That.
Yeah, they weren't going to have a rebellion. You know, Sinn Féin didn't have any particular plans in early 1918 for a rebellion, and we see no evidence that they asked for help from Germans. So as I said, the pretext was this: the arrest of this former POW soldier Joseph Dowling, off the coast of Ireland, who was led ashore by a German U-boat. But it was very flimsy, and people asked for evidence and none was forthcoming.
And with all the talk of today, of fake news and all that sort of carry on, and I watch a lot of, political TV and stuff like that. So
we're all obsessed with Trump, unfortunately.
This is off the wall, this type of question. But do you think in the background, were the English that naive, or did he have... Do you think they could foresee... something for negotiations for themselves as a benefit later on that they would call that shooting themselves in the foot? Were they that naive to an extent? Do you know what I mean? That later on he said, okay, if we get them around the table, okay, we look like the bad guys, but they might come like with sort of, I won't say a begging bowl, but sort of be more appliant to. Go easy with negotiations.
Sinn Féin had their decisive electoral victory in December 1918. So before that, they had what would they have by then? I think about five or six MPs by the time. So they weren't, and even the new Lord Lieutenant, who was just appointed in May, who was the one who called for the German plot arrest, and it was the one who alleged this incident happened. Lord French, John French. He didn't think Sinn Féin were that popular. He didn't think Sinn Féin were that big a movement. So just how naive they were, and you could argue it's similar today. They never really recognised the Irish border as an issue with the Brexit situation until now, when it has reared its ugly head. Yeah. And still, a lot of British commentators don't realise this was always going to be a big issue with Brexit, the Irish land border. But back then as well, it was. They're often very badly advised. John French didn't know Ireland well, and he didn't have. He actually set up when he became Lord Lieutenant. He set up an advisory committee of local people, but they're all either middle class or upper class. They're from the Irish Party or they're Unionists. There's no one from Sinn Féin, no one from trade union movement. So he wasn't getting good intel. He wasn't having the right people on his advisory council. Also, even in the British cabinet, the main person who advised, say, Lloyd George and the likes on Irish policy was a man called Walter Long. Now, Michael Laffin, Irish historian, he's said that Walter Long's ignorance of Irish affairs was absolutely awesome. He hadn't a clue about Irish affairs. He actually thought that Ireland, Sinn Féin and Ireland, wanted to become, at the time, the 49th state of America. That's what he actually thought. Didn't have a clue about Irish politics or Sinn Féin.
You'd wonder how many of them know today, actually, wouldn't you?
You would, of course you would. Yeah. It doesn't seem to register with a lot of people in England and elsewhere in Britain about Ireland, even Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland was only known amongst a lot of people in the public with the violence, you know. Mm. But people have very little knowledge of Northern Ireland, its relationship with the rest of the island and so on to this date. So back then as well, they were very naive, they were very ill-informed. I think they did shoot themselves in the foot. They should have had better information. They should have, before they made these big decisions, they should have been more knowledgeable. Or maybe they didn't care. Maybe they just thought that they would browbeat the Irish and have a more coercive policy, which is what John French really looked for as well.
I suppose, again, if you bring it up to date, as I said, you'd wonder the same thing happening today, that if they had had more insight and thought more about Brexit before they voted, they might have said, well, hold on here, trade and all sorts of negotiations that will have to come up will affect everything in the future. Maybe things will be different.
Look, my own personal view, Brexit was a suicidal step for the British, but look, they have made a decision. Whether they will reverse it, who knows in the future. But we see now that it was a terrible decision for Britain.
But during the course of the campaign, I don't think Ireland was hardly mentioned at all.
That's what the point I was making.
Yeah,
it was hardly mentioned. This is always going to be the big elephant in the room. You know, if you want customs union, then there is. If you don't want to be in the customs union, there is going to be a hard border. You know, and there still is this contradiction saying there's going to be no customs union, but there's going to be no hard border. Technology is going to sort it all out. You know, but look, that's obviously for today. But
okay.
But they may plot arrest themselves. They were significant because the support was really going away from the Irish Party anyway with conscription crisis, and Sinn Féin's popularity was on the rise. But this really cemented it. This really, they did become unstoppable after that. Like with the Cavan East by-election results, you know, and the Mayplot arrests of Arthur Griffith. Like there was that poster they used in 1917 a lot, put him in to get him out, was used again for Arthur Griffith because of the Mayplot arrests with great effect. And the momentum would continue on up until the election. Many of the people who were elected in 1918 were still in prison. You know, Arthur Griffith, Eamon de Valera, Countess Markovic. There's quite a few women who were arrested as well in prison, like Countess Markovic, Kathleen Clark, Maud Gonne MacBride. You know, they were also arrested.
And did their time served vary, or did they all serve around the same time?
Some would vary to a degree. Like one person actually died in prison from the Spanish flu, Richard Coleman. He died in December 1918 in Usk prison from the Spanish flu as a captive because of the Mayplot arrest.
Okay, and was there amnesty then for everyone, in the time when they saw they were losing the battle to an extent, the British, did they sort of give amnesty to everyone?
Well, they were released in 1919, in early 1919, about
for those that had evaded capture, wasn't there a few that sort of...
Yeah, but they were arrested without trial, so, it was only on suspicion. So what were they arresting them for?
Because
the actual people who were let go eventually after being in prison for the guts of a year, they had never gone on trial. They were just imprisoned without trial, as I said. So, there was nothing to arrest. There was nothing. There was no plot, ultimately. The British didn't follow it up. They didn't approve anything. They didn't demonstrate any proof. So they raided Sinn Féin offices as well in Harcourt Street and on the Quays as well. And they found nothing, so there was nothing to convict him for.
Okay, anything else, Cormac, about the era?
Well, no, we'll keep on talking over obviously the next number of months, because 1918 was a obviously a very decisive year for Irish history. Not only obviously with the Sinn Féin rise, the conscription crisis, and the end of the war. You know, the First World War would come to an end in November 1918. Mm. So it was a hugely, hugely significant year for Ireland.
Okay, thank you very much, and it's great and very incisive. Any talks coming up? I know you had one recently, and you were on Near FM as well.
Yeah, on Near FM there on Wednesday with just talking about sport in 1918 and the impact all of the kind of outside events had on sport. But my next talk is in Richmond Barracks on Monday, 11th of June at 11 o'clock, I'll be talking about the 1918 general election.
What date is that again?
So 11th of June, Monday, the 11th of June.
At what time?
At 11 a.m. Richmond Barracks.
Richmond Barracks. Okay. Yeah. Thanks very much, Cormac. It's always a great pleasure to have you in. And that's Cormac Moore, historian in residence with Dublin City Libraries, North Central area. And we're talking there about the May plot arrests of 73 leading Sinn Féin members. Thanks very much, Cormac.